You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 160 of Wisdom by Wessa on the Horse Radio Network. This is Jennifer Hebert.
I'm Morgan Nicole.
And this is Sophia Yagela. Welcome to Wisdom by Wessa on the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
So, Sophia, the Wessa board just met again for another meeting. What's the update?
Yes. So, of course, we have lots of updates to share soon, but I did want to touch on one of them today because we're offering a great new sponsorship opportunity, a new on-site advertising option. And this was, once again, an idea that the members came up with directly. And they voiced that we just had lots of columns around the show, I'm sure you've seen it, that are kind of just empty, and why not use them to advertise? So the board listened and
brilliant! People,
yes, and now we have a new opportunity, and people can sign up already and actually now advertise on the columns, and with that, advertise directly on our 11th floor.
That is a brilliant idea. Yay! Membership! Woohoo!
Yes. And another update is that Lorinda Van Newkirk has stepped down from her role as a Wessa board member, and Gerald Adami has stepped up to fill her position until the next vote.
Congratulations, everybody!
Yes. And you can actually vote at the general membership meeting for the next board member and either confirm Gerald's position, or you can nominate yourself or somebody else to join the board. It's really an amazing group of volunteers, and we always love getting new faces to the board.
That is great. And speaking of new people on board, introduce our guest, Morgan.
Yes. So today we have Corbett Farrell. He's the founder and CEO of Farrell Brand, which is a men's apparel company built on craftsmanship, integrity, and the refusal to take shortcuts. Chief Marketing Officer leads the brand's storytelling and marketing, ensuring that Farrell's message of authenticity resonates with the target segment.
Jesse and Corbett, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have y'all today.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for having us. We're excited to be here.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you.
Yes, I know we're going to be jumping into so many different things today, but really what I'm really excited for is to hear more about this philosophy of no shortcuts with your men's apparel brand. I'm thinking maybe we can start with Jesse. Jesse's actually the CMO of the company, but Jesse, tell me about this. You know, what does the no shortcuts really mean specifically?
Yeah, I mean, I think we try to be true and authentic to the Wessa lifestyle and understanding who our customer is. And so I think when you think about the folks that wear our clothes, they also have a similar philosophy about no shortcuts and being authentic in the way that they go about their life. And so, you know, our marketing reflects that in a lot of different ways. I think, you know, with as far as the design of the apparel and stuff goes, Corbett could probably speak a little bit better to that. But we try our best to be, you know, as authentic and real as possible as a brand and truly understanding who our customer is.
Right. Now, Corbett, yeah, maybe pop in here about more of like the design and sourcing and manufacturing process, sticking to the no shortcuts.
Yeah. So we're relatively new and, you know, when we chose to kind of use that in some of our marketing, I chose to make my product of the most quality at a great price for the consumer that we could do. And so a lot of what that was in the beginning was, you know, taking a lot shorter mark from our end to allow our retailers to make more money. Cause that's what we are here. We're, you know, we're part of Wessa, and we know that at the end of the day, profit is what drives a lot of the decisions sometimes. And so we wanted to make the product right in the beginning so that those retailers could sell a great product at a great price, as well as like we just do things differently from a design perspective. And we're not here to like kind of show you the same old plaid shirt that you've seen for the past 30 years in the Western Apparel Group. So yeah, that's kind of in short kind of what it means to us.
You know, I loved that you talked about the profit margins. I'm a Western content creator myself, and I work with a lot of wholesalers and retailers. So I totally see both sides of it. And I was actually going to ask you, you know, what was one of maybe those moments where refusing the shortcut cost really, you know, made a difference? And for you guys, it was making sure the margin was right on the money for your clients. I think that's really huge. And, you know, we talked about the functionality and the durability of the product and that, you know, out of box design. I would say, Corbett, how do you define durability in your apparel?
Yeah, so that's, you know, you can kind of, don't want to take a toll on ton of your time on that, but from the standard testings that you can do for manufacturing process, that's one standpoint, but we actually give a lot of product to the people out there doing the work, the rodeo, the riding each and every day. So we'd rather test the product in the real life form versus a closed simulated system. And that's really benefited us because we get feedback from those that are doing those everyday projects, whether it's riding, rodeo, ranching, like they give us feedback and then we can, you know, take that feedback and develop a better product for them. Because at the end of the day, like that's who's wearing the product and that's who we want feedback from. So that's really been the way that we kind of test the durability and the function of the product on a person, which again is more time consuming. It costs more money, but we just really want the end consumer to enjoy our product and have it durable and stand the test of time.
Right. I think that is so admirable about your brand, Feral, is that, you know, you guys understand this is a marathon and this is not a sprint. And I think that your brand will honestly outlast so many others because you guys are doing your due diligence up front. I love to hear that your team actually, you know, takes the time, ships these out, and then gets all that feedback. You know, there's nothing like boots, you know, on the ground of how the buttons hold up, you know, what kind of breathable material is it from the people who are actually living this day in and day out. I was popping around on the Instagram and the website, of course, and I have to say the marketing is just amazing. Jesse, how do you avoid, you know, marketing hyperbole or over-polished messaging while you're keeping this authenticity going?
Sure. Great question. You know, I think we're intentional about telling stories that are real and not just manufactured. And so we really lean into where our shirts actually live. And that's on ranches, that's at the rodeos, it's in the everyday hands of hardworking people. And so, you know, you'll see us highlight a crew at Tongue River Ranch that's branding cattle, or we'll show our community and everyday customers wearing it. And that's really because that's where, you know, the authenticity comes through. And so we've recently launched a new series. It's called Well Worn, and it highlights our customers and brand partners. And so we may showcase somebody like Post Malone who wears our shirts often, or it could be a customer from Kansas who loves our shirts and owns, you know, 10 of them. So we really try to find that balance. We really try to be, you know, real and authentic in all of the content and marketing that we put out.
Yes. Now, I think this would be really, you know, really cool for our listeners to hear. When you're a brand that truly does it all, you guys are the epitome of a lifestyle brand. Jesse, for the marketing, how do you come up with that ratio? Like with ranch content to every day, is there like a specific formula, or really are you just feeling it out as you go?
It kind of evolves over time. I mean, we really look at our retailers and who their customers are and try to support them in that way. And so we, you know, we're heavily, you know, we sell to a lot of farm and ranch retailers and Western wear stores. And so our content's always going to portray that for the most part. But, you know, there's times where we try to see if maybe it works in other ways as well. But at the end of the day, we feel pretty confident about who our customer is. And we hear a lot of feedback from retailers in what they need and what they want to help, you know, push Feral within their doors. And so it's kind of trying to find that balance, but also making sure we're not, you know, alienating or misunderstanding who's actually buying our shirts at the end of the day.
Right. And now, how long have y'all been doing wholesale and the retail? Did, you know, retail come before the wholesale? Tell me about that kind of process.
You know, we went to our first market January of 2024, and we started wholesale. We've always had a website because in today's, just, you know, natural business models, you have to have a website, right? But we really have just focused really on the wholesale side of the business. And like I said, we're only about 20 months old. I have a background in retail before I got into the manufacturing wholesale side. So that did help kind of the viewpoints of what I thought, what I kind of knew retailers wanted. And so I kind of thought, okay, well, what if a brand offered this? What if a brand offered this? What if they did it this way? And that dream became a reality in January of 24 when we launched at Wessa. And it's just been a wild ride since. And so really, again, to that question, we are 99% of our focus is on the wholesale customer and those brand partners.
Man, I did not realize how quick this has all grown for you guys. You guys are pretty off to the races, huh?
Yeah, you know, it's God put me in retail for, you know, over a decade, and that was for a reason, and that was for what I'm doing now, and I enjoy every day of it, and it's something I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to design, and here I am, and couldn't be happier.
I love that. And the fact that you came from the retail background, Corbett, you're right. You knew exactly what the pain points were for the retailers. And I get the sense of feel that Feral is a company and a brand that really cares about the customer, whether the customer is the retailer or the direct to consumer. And, you know, there's a lot of trust that is built. Corbett, how do you measure success beyond just the sales? You know, how is that relationship really affecting how the business is run?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, one, it's about partnerships with those retailers. But, you know, at the end of the day, when we meet people and they're like, oh my God, I love your shirts. They're pulled up well. They, you know, it's really the feedback from the customers is where we draw the success line at. Like, everybody wants sales. It's not, you know, beat around that bush at all. Like, that's kind of what allows you to grow. But I think success is really driven from a standpoint of seeing all that come to light and seeing, like, the way the customer's face lights up when they try your product on and the way they just love wearing it. I think that's kind of where we've kind of defined success most recently, and how they trust us and how we stand behind our product.
Right. You know, there's nothing like that in-person interaction with your customer. And like you were talking about, when their face lights up, I mean, that's what fuels your fire. I know as a creative myself, it's like you're down, you know, head down, creating, throw it out there. And you're like, whoo, are they going to take the bait? Like, do they like it? You know, is it good? And so when people receive the product and really get to incorporate it into their lifestyle, I know that's a full circle moment for you. And just applauding you guys for really opening up the opportunity for their feedback. I think that's really huge. Corbett, you know, when you're having those interactions, are these the moments where you get to ask them, you know, what are they hoping to see next? Like, how does that kind of in-person metric influence your upcoming decisions?
I think it influences a ton. You know, like I tell people, you know, when they say they love the product, I typically have asked them, what do you not like about the product? And they kind of look at me funny sometimes. I'm like, no, tell me, like, there's got to be one thing you don't like. And so we try to put all those together over, you know, feedback from thousands of people and make changes, because at the end of the day, that's who we're here to serve, as the customer. And they'll give great feedback. And so that's kind of the way I've personally taken the approach. And again, we're pretty young here, but so far it's worked out for us.
Right. I love that reverse psychology of, no, give me the bad news. You know, I can take it. Let's get to the bottom of it. You know, y'all's clientele, the ranchers, the farmers, the team ropers, whoever it might be, those are simple men. They want a great product that someone's already figured out the odds and ends about it. So going back to the scaling without the compromising core values, Maybe Corbett, how do you see this from the marketing perspective? But as the brand grows, how do you plan to maintain that commitment to the honest pricing and material and workmanship?
I think that in today's world, people can really tell, they can really tell when you lack the authenticity, right? So whether that's from a social standpoint or a marketing standpoint or a product standpoint, the consumer is very smart. So they know if you've cut a corner here, done that, or, you know, chosen to take the easier road, and we just haven't done that. So when you talk about scaling without compromise, you know, we want to scale and we want to scale fast, and we're going to do that as fast as we can while not impeding, you know, product value and product authenticity and, you know, all of our core values that we want to provide a great product to the customer. So
yeah.
Not sure if that's like the whole answer one, but it's really, you know, our customers have already asked for other product lines. And so we're working day and night to get those to them extremely fast.
Yeah. And that's what I was leading up to of like, what gives you that signal of, okay, it's time to add to the line. How did you kind of gauge that safe spot of it's time to add?
I don't think there's ever a safe spot in business. I think that at the end of the day, it's about taking risks. And if you can calculate those risks within measurable reason, we take it. And I good luck answering that. So if someone's got the magic eight ball on that, you let me know. I want to see it. You know, we're really just, we listen to our customers, whether that's the wholesale customer, that's the in the consumer customer, you know, we're giving them what they want and as fast as possible. And so regardless if we feel it's the right time or not, you know, if they want it, let's give it to them.
Right. Now, kind of wrapping up here with just the role of being in men's apparel, in what ways do you guys think that men's clothing shapes how a man sees himself and how others see him?
Good question. I think that, you know, everyone, when they put on a nice shirt and they're about to go do a job outdoors on the ranch, or they're about to go out to dinner, everyone feels more confident when they know they have the right tools or the right items to get the job done. And that job could be fixing fence, that job could be going to a rodeo, and that job could be, you know, taking your wife out to a nice dinner. That's not really a job, but I'm trying to explain that in one saying, like, it's confidence, right? And I think that we love to provide that for our men consumers. And as we get into women's clothing, we'd love to provide that for women, because I think confidence is key and it can go a long way.
I think we don't just want, you know, Farrell to be a brand and shirt that you throw on for work. Like Corbett said, like it should feel like the shirt that fits every part of who that person is. And so, you know, when someone wears our shirt for a wedding and then the next day on the ranch, like that's gold. It shows we've built a product and a brand that fits their lifestyle. And that's kind of, you know, what we're trying to do.
I love it. Now, tell us, of course, they can shop direct to consumer off y'all's website, but how can they get in contact with Farrell for any wholesale inquiries?
If you go to our website, go down in the footer, there's a wholesale inquiry form that you can fill out, and then one of our sales girls would reach out and be in touch with whomever.
Yeah, you can also just email info@farrellbrand.com, and that'll go straight to the team, and they can assist you in opening a wholesale account.
Well, wonderful. You guys heard it here first. They do it all from wholesale to retail. Guys, it's been a true pleasure getting to know you and hear more of the brand, but looking forward to seeing all of your growth and success.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for having us. And stop by our Wesso booth in January, you know, if you're going to be there. So we'd love to have y'all.
For sure.
Thank you, Morgan.
Awesome. Thank you, Morgan.
Links to today's episode can be found at wisdombywesso.com. You can also subscribe to Wisdom by Wesso on the player of your choice, including Apple Music, Spotify. I actually subscribe via Audible. So just jump right in there and look for Wisdom by Wesso, WESA.
The Wisdom by Wesso show will be published twice a month. So be sure to check in with us on the 15th and 30th of every month.